Well, one thing about me is at times I am a risk taker, maybe a little too risky. But a few years ago, we have a church member here who I was over at their house hanging out, and he said, "Hey, do you want to see my airplanes?" And I'm like, "Sounds good." And so we go out to his big barn, and I knew he had like little miniature airplanes, and we went out there and walked into this barn and look up, and there's all these miniature airplanes, and right underneath all the miniature airplanes is this plane right here. So I look at him like, "That is pretty awesome." He says, "Hey, Clayton, you want to go flying with me?" And I just quickly said, "No, like I'm not doing it. That plane doesn't look like it's even airworthy. I don't know." So I say, "Hey, let me get it finished and fixed up, and I'm gonna take you out." And so a while later, he calls me, says it's time to go flying. And so I said a lot of prayers and went out to their house, and we took this picture around here. This picture is kind of like my, you know, proof of life picture, really. Or maybe it's my last picture. I didn't know what was going to happen. I said, you gotta get this. This could be a good story at my funeral. So we took this picture, and we get up in this plane, and I am in the front cockpit, and I just had this harness on, and there's no canopy over me. And Chris, his name's Chris White. He's awesome dude in our church, and he's behind me. He's the pilot. And we both have controls, but he has a canopy over him, and I thought that was a little bit safer than I was. And so I wanted to show you just a quick video of the easiest thing that we ended up doing that day. Yeah, the barf bags are underneath the seat in front of you. So that was the easiest thing we did. I mean, we spent a good part of the day just flying around, doing crazy stuff. We're doing all these corkscrews and flips and upside down. We would go way up high and stall the plane out until you just dropped out of the sky, and then get airspeed again and keep going. And at one time, we were flying just completely upside down, and just for a good while, just upside down. And I have no parachute on, okay? And I just got this harness on me. I'm just kind of trying to hang on for dear life. And Chris is back there just like, "Hey, isn't this fun? Isn't this awesome?" It was the scariest moment of life, guys. I was terrified. I was absolutely terrified. And thank goodness we landed. Like, landing was the best moment of my life. It was the scariest moment and the best moment at the exact same time. And the reason it was so scary is because I had to trust someone else, you know? And sometimes that's a really hard thing to do. And today we're going to look at a story of a family who had to do the same thing. Things were out of their control, and they had to trust God in an incredible way. So give your Bibles. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11 just briefly, and then we'll jump over to the Old Testament. But Hebrews 11 is going to springboard us to the story for today. But in Hebrews 11, we've been going through this idea this month of people that had gritty faith, faith with endurance. And today we pick up in verse 23. Here's what it says. It says, "It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command." So who are we talking about today? We're talking about Moses' parents. In Exodus chapter 6, we find out their names, Amram and Jochebed. Those are the names. I mean, not very famous names, but Moses' mom and Moses' dad and Moses' mom. And it says here in this passage in Hebrews that they had a very unusual child. So what does that mean? Well, what it really means is that the child was beautiful or one of a kind. He was special. And his parents saw something special in him. And the truth is that we kind of all see that in our kids. You're right. Our kid's born, you're like, "Man, this is the best kid that's ever been born," you know? And you look at your kid, so special, so amazing. And what's really going on is that every parent is seeing future potential in their kid. They see their whole life in front of them. And that's what was going on with Moses' parents. And that desire to see your kid do great things and have an incredible life, it will drive us as parents. And so it drove them as parents. And it simply says that they hid him. They hid Moses for a time. And to truly understand the story, we got to jump to the book of Exodus. So now take your Bible, you can turn to Exodus chapter 1. We'll begin there. And we're going to look at the last verse of Exodus 1 and then the first 10 verses of Exodus chapter 2, because that's where the story is from that Hebrews 11 is talking about. And so here's what's going on. The Israelites, they're living in Egypt. They had to come down because of the famine. There was only 70 of them at the beginning. 400 years later, there's about 2 to 3 million Israelites. And they become this dominant force in the region to the point where Pharaoh had to try to control them. And so he enslaves them to try to do that. And it doesn't work that well. They're still growing. God's still blessing them. And so he comes up with the next plan. Here's what it says in verse 22 of Exodus 1. This was the king's command that they ignored. Here's what it says. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. Throw every newborn Hebrew boy into the Nile River, but you may let the girls live. Now, first off, let me just say this. That's not fair. Like, that's just not fair, right? Right, guys? Like, why is it? Why do the girls get an easy out and the guys, like, why is that going on? Obviously, we understand that he was trying to control that population. But yes, obviously it wasn't fair, but it was a terrifying moment for parents. It wasn't just Moses' parents that were dealing with that. Thousands upon thousands of parents were dealing with the idea of their kid being thrown into the Nile and being killed. Look, I believe every parent wrestles with fear with their kids, right? The fear of what will happen to my child. So one you're praying or you're worried about that. And at the same time, you're praying and you're wrestling with faith. So you're wrestling with fear, but you're also wrestling with this faith like, God, will you protect my child? Will you take care of my child? So what's going to happen to my kid? God, will you protect my kid? As a parent, I'll just say this. I got two great kids. One's 20, one's 17. Our 17-year-old's in the back right there. 20-year-old's off at college right now. Hannah's in the back. She's a senior in high school. And guys, I was terrified of being a parent when they were little, and I still am today. I mean, just it doesn't get any easier, honestly. It just changes. Things just change a little bit. But as a parent, when your kids are first born, man, everything changes. You know, you had this, you didn't know you had that love inside of you, you know? And then your kid comes into the world and your world is just flipped upside down to the point where you've got someone in your life now that you would die for and do anything for. And what happens is you end up spending year upon year trying to protect this beautiful thing that you have in front of you, this thing that God has given you. And so here's my question for today. Is your parenting fear-based or faith-based? And honestly, I'm talking to parents today, but I'm also talking to grandparents that have an opportunity to still parent today. I'm talking to aunts and uncles, people that have influence on the next generation. And I'm also even talking, you guys here, right here, okay? I'm even talking to you and others who don't have kids yet, but hopefully someday you will have kids. And the question is, how are you going to parent? Are you going to parent out of fear or are you going to parent out of faith? And in this story, what we're going to find is we're going to find a secret formula to parenting without fear. And we're going to find it in these verses of Exodus chapter 2. Let's look at the story a little bit this morning. Here's what verse 1 says. Verse 1 says, about this time, a man and woman from the tribe of Levi, they got married and the woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And she saw that he was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. And she put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. Here's what's going on. She couldn't hide Moses anymore. They couldn't do it. And in a way, what was happening to Moses' parents is they were just playing out this ancient version of that movie, A Quiet Place. You ever seen A Quiet Place? Where, like, there's these aliens, they have this great hearing, and you can't make a sound, and so the entire movie is just people silently trying to survive. And there, in one of the Quiet Place movies, there's one of them has a little baby, and so they're trying to protect this baby and keep this baby quiet. And it's just like a losing scenario, and that's what was going on in this moment. I mean, they were trying everything to keep Moses quiet and safe and hidden. And I don't know, maybe Moses was just a cranky screaming baby, you know, and they just eventually they couldn't hide him anymore. And so the question was, what do we do? And you can imagine the parents are looking at each other saying, what are we supposed to do? And I believe in this moment what happened is that they remembered what God had already done in the past. You see, they didn't have the Bible yet. They didn't have the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, the law, because their son Moses is going to be inspired by God to write it, okay? So the baby Moses is going to be inspired to write these things. But they did have the oral tradition. They did have all the stories passed down from generation to generation. And so they knew about Adam and Eve. And they also knew about Noah. And how in the middle of that terrible situation, God protected Noah and his family by putting them on an ark. They'd remember what God had done. And so I think it teaches us something today that when you are parenting scared, and a lot of times we are when we're parenting scared, here's what we need to do. We find this in the story that we need to remember God's faithfulness. We need to remember what God had done, has already done in our lives and also in the scriptures and other people's lives. You see, they remembered that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so in faith, what they did is they put him in a basket. Another way that the original language talks about it, they actually call it an ark. Do you know the only two times in the Bible that a little boat or a boat is called the ark is in the story of Noah and the story right here. I believe his parents remembered what God had done and said, if God did that back then, he can still do it today. And so they put him in an ark and said, look, we can't save our kid anymore. Only God can. We're trusting God in that moment. You know something? I think I need to say this to myself, and I think I need to say this to all parents. You aren't your kid's savior, okay? I know we want to be. I know we want to play that role, but only God can truly save your kid. We got to trust him in the middle of that. Now, there's more to this story. There's more going on about how to parent in faith. Let's look at what happens next. In verse 4, it says that the baby's sister then stood at a distance and watching to see what would happen to him. Now, it's very interesting because where's Moses' parents? Why are Moses' parents not there? The last time we see Moses' parents is they're putting baby Moses in the water and just saying bye, you know, just seeing him kind of float on. What we see here is that they had a plan. They had a plan using Miriam, which is the sister of Moses. And I think that happens to us sometimes, this idea of like letting our kid go. We've all experienced it. We're parents, or we'll experience someday. I mean, letting your kid go is tough, right? Letting them kind of have some freedom and living their own life is tough. And I mean, just as a parent, I'm looking at Hannah and saying, I'm sorry. I've messed up a lot as a parent when it comes to that. Because I come from the car seat generation, you know? Some of you guys didn't have car seats, but like, we've always had car seats. When our kids were little, they were in car seats all the time. I remember when they're born, they're put in a car seat, and they got to stay in the car seat till like, now they have to be a certain height and weight. And Hannah's a short kid, okay? Or she was a short kid. And so I remember, I mean, she's like, I don't know, it was like sixth grade or something, or fifth grade. The doctor's like, she still needs to be in a car or a booster. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I mean, she's in middle school. Like, why are we having to do this? And so, I mean, it's just, we just live in this culture of trying to protect our kids. And now Hannah's 17, and now she still kind of asks for permission to do things. But there's this moment that changes, you parents, where your kid just kind of says, here's what I'm going to do, you know? And you're like, ah. And I mean, she's a great kid, but like there's times she'll go, hey, I'm going to Tulsa, and we're going, wait, what? Like, you're going to do what? Like, who are you going with? Where are you going to be? What all is going on? When are you going to be back? And you're trying to protect your kids so much. It's so hard to let them go, and it's so hard to let them grow up. I think one of the reasons is because we also have this fear that they're going to make a bad decision. And I think ultimately we have this fear that our kid later on in life might end up living a life that we don't agree with, that we didn't want for them. And so there's this fear and this of something bad is going to happen to our child. So I want you to imagine this scenario, this scene where you're there with Moses and Moses' parents, and you're watching baby Moses just go off in the river. And this river is not a calm river, guys. You ever been in the Nile? It's It's not a good river. Like, there's lots of crocodiles, there's hippos, there's other stuff in there. It was a dangerous place, and they just let Moses go on. But let me tell you this. Here's what was happening. They were not abandoning Moses. And we see that through his sister. They said, Miriam, we want you to, here's the plan. We want you to watch from a distance. Keep your distance, but be available if need be. Now look, this is not an advertisement for Life 360, okay? Now, for those of you who have Life 360 for your kids, instead it's actually an advertisement for faith-based parenting. Because you see, there's an art to faith-based parenting. There's an art to letting your kid go, where you're wanting to protect them and provide for them, but not control them, right? Not to smother them. Not to get in the water with them and carry the ark so it doesn't get wet, and you're fighting off crocodiles for them and they're 35 years old and you're still doing that, you know? Like, you don't want to find yourself in that kind of situation. And Jesus actually talks about having this kind of this skill, okay? Here's what he says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. He's talking to his disciples. He's about to send them out, and he says, look, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves. Sometimes that's like the definition of parenting. Sometimes you're like, you're letting your kid, I'm letting you out. You're amongst all these wolves. And here's what Jesus says to his disciples. He says, so be as shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves. And man, I've always been confused about that, because I thought snakes in the Bible were bad, guys. Like, I just thought they were bad. You never wanted to be a snake. All of a sudden, Jesus said, be a snake. So what is he talking about? He's saying, be shrewd as a snake. What he's talking about is have wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge put into practice. And so what Jesus is saying is that, look, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're following me, you have God's word. You have lots of experience of walking with me. You look at it and you see all this knowledge. Now I need you to put that into practice. I need you to live with wisdom. So what does that look like for parents? Well, it doesn't mean, if you're shrewd as a snake, it doesn't mean that you're trying to manipulate everything for your kid and manipulate the outcomes, but instead, you're parenting with wisdom. So one of the, maybe the, my personal example of this is this idea of letting your kid do some things while they're under your roof. Sometimes that's the hardest thing. But while your kid is with you and under your roof, I believe we need to allow them to fail sometimes, you know? We need to allow them to experience life where you're still protecting and providing for them, where they actually could experience hurt. They could make a bad decision with you coaching them, but you let them live with some of those consequences and actually learn and grow, because the alternative is to just protect them as good parents for that 18 years, the 20 years, or however long they're with you, and then you just say, all right, now they're on their own, okay? But sometimes that doesn't go very well. I think we need to be more shrewd and use wisdom when we're with our kids with the time that we have with them, to protect them, but also allow them to grow while we are being there with them. The problem is, most of us, we're kind of helicopter parents, you know? Or we call them lawnmower parents. They're just mowing over all the competition, all the issues, all the problems, so that our kid can have the best possible future that we want them to have. And our culture, we do that. I mean, most of us, in some form or fashion, we were guilty of that. And I was always wondering, why is that? And honestly, I found four reasons why I think that's happening. It's totally different than other generations. Here's the reason a lot of us are helicopter parents. Because we live in this scary world illusion. Look at media. Look at the news. We can turn on the news. We always see the worst of the worst, you know? We look at it and look at this world like it's just going crazy, and I can't imagine my kid being on her own and what's going to happen to them. And we can hear sensational stories of terrible things happening from all over the world, and we kind of equate that to here and now and be like, this world is so scary, I can't even let my kid go to Catoosa or whatever. Like, you're just like, I can't let them out of my sight. And so you have that going on, and this is this fear that you have. And then you also, on top of that, you put technology today. Technology today, you got GPS, you've got the ability to keep track of your kid. You guys know why you have a cell phone? so your parents can track you. I'm just telling you, like, that's the reason y'all have a cell phone, is so your parents can keep up with you, right? I mean, back, how many of y'all were of the generation of your parents said, be home by dark? Anybody? Can you imagine doing that today? You might get thrown in jail, right, as a parent, right? No, we look at our kids and say, you need to be available anytime I text you. Anytime I call you, you better answer that phone. Because I paid for that phone. Anybody has said that? I'm guilty. Hannah's laughing right there. I'm guilty of that. Like, I paid for that phone. You better have it on at all times. And so you text your kid, and it's 10 seconds goes by. Like, why are they not texting back? Why, the little dots are going off. Like, what's going on with that, you know? And they're not getting back with you. And you're just worried. And so there's this fear going on of something's going on. Where are they at? It's just this constant obsession with what's going on in their life. And then on top of that, you even put another thing. It's called the achievement culture. This high stakes achievement culture that we have, that my kid better be a success when they grow up. And so I've got to do everything to make sure that they have the best chance. And what happens is usually as parents, we've made up the future for our kids. And we try to get them to live this future that God has planned for you, and we've made that up. We don't know what their future is. But we have a great idea of what it should be. Should be straight A's, should be getting a full ride, going to college, being successful, having a career, having a family. But we have this idea of what our kids should be. And so, man, the stakes are high. And we have this fear that if they mess up, they're going to ruin our great plans that we have for them. Yeah. And so we make sure we try to protect them. And on top of that, here's the more selfish thing, is that as parents, we have this identity crisis. And it brings this anxiety in our lives where we actually, if we're honest, we find our identity in the success of our kids. It's why Facebook exists, honestly. Old people, sorry, we're all old, okay? We're telling everybody all the great accomplishments of our kids. No one puts the bad stuff that your kid did, you know? No, you might. That's kind of crazy. But no one does that. We always like, look what my kid did. And what's really going on, I think, deep down inside, is we want everybody to know just how great of parents we are, you know? Look how much they are accomplishing, and look at the places that they are going. And so you stack all those things up, and no wonder we're helicopter parents. We're obsessed with it. It drives us. But look, that's parenting with fear, and it's not healthy for our kids. You want to know what is healthy for our kids? It's partnering with God in parenting. In fact, that might be the greatest thing as a parent that you will ever do for your kid, is partnering with God. Doing your part as a parent, you have a responsibility, but also at the same time, you're trusting God with his responsibility. And his responsibility is the results. In the story, this is exactly what happens to Moses. God shows up and he protects Moses. He protects him from the crocodiles. He protects him from exposure and starvation and capsizing the little ark. He protects him, and he does something even crazier. Look what happens back in the story in verse 5 and 6. It says, soon Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river, and her attendants walked along the riverbank. When the princess saw the basket among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it for her. And when the princess opened it, she saw the baby. The little boy was crying, and she felt sorry for him. She said, this must be one of the Hebrew children, she said. So here's what's going on. The women see this little baby. They open up the basket, and there's a little baby inside, and they go, oh, it's a baby, right? Like, you can't help it. Like, I mean, just, you know, grab it. You're passing the baby around. I mean, it's a mother's instinct, okay? Everybody has that. Every female in this room listening online, you have that instinct in you to provide and protect. And in this story, what's really going on is God is using that to save Moses. You see, God had a plan all along. And in this story, God is actually the hero in the story. It's not the princess. God is the hero. And you want to know what will save your kid in this world? A hero. And you're not it. I'm not it. Only God can truly save your kid. Whether that's save them from their sins spiritually, but also save them and provide for them and protect them in ways that you can never do that. That's what God does. Look, the story isn't over. It gets a little even crazier. My favorite part is next. Look what happens in verse 7. Verse 7, it says, then the baby's sister approached the princess. She says, so Miriam shows up. She's waiting in the wings, right? Got that Life 360 app going. Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? She asked. She's like, I got a great idea, okay? She gives this idea. Yes, do, the princess replied. So the girl went and called the baby's mother. Take this baby and nurse him for me, the princess told the baby's mother, and I will pay you for your help. So the woman took her baby home and nursed him. In this moment, God truly is Jehovah Jireh, God the provider. He provided in an incredible way. He provided for Moses, and he provided for Moses' parents. I mean, this is crazy. Jochebed thought she had lost her son. And all of a sudden, her son gets to come back home, and she gets to provide and nurse her son, and she got paid for it, guys. Like, I mean, that is some bonus stuff right there. That's working the system. I'm just telling you. Like that, it just worked out in incredible ways. But in this moment, here's what was going on. Moses' parents got a second chance at parenting. Look, when you get a second chance at parenting, don't waste it. What does a second chance look like? Well, like if your kid was younger and now they're getting a little bit older, and maybe you parented them one way, and now it's time to parent them a little bit different. That's a new season. That's a second chance. Don't waste it. Some of you are going to experience a prodigal coming back home. That's a second chance to parent them. For some, your older kid's going to call, Mom, Dad, I need some advice. That's a chance to parent them all over again. Grandparents, you have an opportunity to be second chance parents in a fun, cool way with your grandkids. And it's the best because they go home at the end of the day, right? You just sugar them up and kick them out. And you're like, good luck, buddy, you know? But you get a chance to parent all over again. Some of you don't have any family around, but it doesn't mean that you can't parent. We have an entire church full of kids and teenagers that need a good mentor in their life. And you have an opportunity to partner with their family and help raise the next generation. You see, Moses' parents, they took this opportunity, they didn't waste it. And so what they did is for a couple years, they surrounded Moses with their faith. And they trained him up in the way that he should go. And it changed everything in his life. It made him the man that he became. It changed everything. And he never forgot the faith that was put in his life. And you read his stories of him leading the people out of Egypt. And I truly believe that his parents had a great influence in that, in the second chance that they had, in that limited moment. And the truth is, you and I have a limited moment with our kids to give them our values and to give them Jesus. Because the clock is ticking, guys. Like, eventually it's going to run out. They're going to have graduation day. They're going to move out. They're going to have their wedding day and their own kids. And you're going to blink and all that's going to happen. You have this small moment to instill value in Jesus in them. And so what can we do as families, as parents? One thing we can do is we can determine to not waste that second chance and say, you know what? If I get that second chance, I'm gonna tell them about Christ. I'm gonna model my faith in front of them. I'm gonna pray out loud. I'm gonna read God's word. I'm gonna go to church and I'm gonna bring them with me. And I'm gonna go to God as a family when we're in the middle of crisis, and we're gonna give thanks to God in all these different seasons. And we're gonna make sure that when they're out on their own, we have set them up to succeed and trusting God all along the way. This is what was happening to Moses' parents. Time ran out for them. Like it just ran out. And Amram and Jochebed, they were like, what do we do now? And look what happens in verse 10, our last verse for today. Here's what it says. It says, later when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. And the princess named him Moses, for she explained, I lifted him out of the water. What happened here is that eventually they had to let him go. And the reason they had to let Moses go is because that was honestly the only way that he would grow. to become the man that God had for him. They had to let him go. And the hard truth for them is that bad things were going to happen to Moses. His life was going to be difficult. And that's the hard truth for us. Bad things are going to happen to your kid. There's no way of getting around it. But it can't be something that paralyzes you. Instead, it's an opportunity to put your faith in action. Because here's something we got to realize, that the only thing that can truly overcome that fear in your life is your faith. It's got to overshadow the fears that you have. Otherwise, that fear is going to eat you alive. You're going to find yourself smothering your kid way too long. You're going to find yourself drowning in the river while you're trying to hold your kid up and protect them because you never set them up with wisdom, shrewd as a snake, parenting well to provide and show them actually how to swim and how to make it in this life. Look, I am not a model parent. I mean, ask my family. Oh, it's rough. I have made so many mistakes, and if I had to do it all over again, I'd do things differently. I would trust God a little bit more. The problem is seatbelts, honestly. Seatbelts are the problem. I mean, everybody's like, seatbelt? Like, even right now, I mean, we get in the car, handed in this tree, I'm like, everybody put your seatbelt on. You know? That's just that's who I am as the dad, right? As the good dad. But how many of you guys grew up and you went on road trips and you were just like taking a nap in the back of the car, just doing your own thing? Or how many of y'all learned how to drive sitting on your parents' lap while they were driving down the road? Anybody, like some of you, like, you'd be put in jail today, right? You'd be arrested, you'd be all over the news if we parented that like that. It's just crazy. We had this fear of something bad happening to our kids. Look, there's a lot of fear. And there's something I've realized. This is a hard thing to get today. Actually trusting God and having faith-based parenting in your life, it may be the greatest test of your faith ever. It may be the hardest thing you ever do is truly trusting God with your kid, right? It's so difficult. But my encouragement to all of us, to myself and to you, is that God is bigger and his ways are better. And I love what Jesus said in John chapter 11. He's talking to Martha, and Martha was a worrier, okay? I mean, she was living out of fear. She's just a worrier. Here's what Jesus said. He said, Martha, I'm the resurrection and the life, okay? I'm bigger than you could ever imagine. I'm in control more than you could ever dream. I'm the resurrection and the life, and anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. I am the way to salvation for everyone. Everyone who believes in me and lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Talking spiritually. And he asks this question, do you believe me, Martha? I think that's the same question for every parent in this room. Or parents that are going to have a second chance. Or future parents someday. Do you trust God? Do you trust that he can take care of your kid? Do you believe that? Think about this. If Jesus really is who he says he is, it's going to be all right, okay? No matter how bad it may seem right now, it's going to be all right. We can trust him. That's so hard to say, guys. Maybe it's easy to say, hard to live out. You know, if the tomb really is empty, anything's possible. God can turn anything around. He can protect in mysterious ways and provide in ways that you can't even dream of. And we got to trust that he has a plan. And we got to trust that he knows what he's doing. When I got up in that plane, the reason I trusted Chris is because I'm an idiot first. But he had flown countless hours, thousands of hours in that plane. He knew what he was doing. Parents, providing for your kid is not God's first rodeo. Okay, he's done it a billion times. He's answered billions of prayers of parents just like you who are worried and scared and parenting out of fear. He's like, trust me, I got it. I'll provide for them in this life and in the life to come. Do you trust him? Here's what I want to do. I want to end a little bit different. I want to ask you just to bow your heads for just a minute. whether you're a parent, grandparent, or anybody in between, or a future parent someday, I want you to do something for me. I want you to put yourself on the hot seat, okay? Sometimes that's how our prayers are. We just need to be honest with God. We need to ask some questions. And so I want to guide you through just a couple questions that you can ask. Here's the first one. Where am I parenting out of fear instead of faith? Maybe it has to do with the safety of your kids, their future success, their reputation, their academics or sports, or their spiritual walk, the friends that they have. Where are you parenting out of fear instead of faith? Ask this. When it comes to my child's future, am I leaning more towards controlling the outcome or partnering with God? What am I trying to do? What am I holding on to so tightly that I'm not giving it over to God? Just this, if I get a second chance, what will I do differently? Maybe be more present and less absent. Maybe you would be less controlling, be more coaching, be less demanding, and more gracious. Patient. Maybe you'd live your faith out in front of your family differently. What would you do differently? And finally, I want to ask you to do this. Maybe it's for the very first time or maybe for the thousandth time. I just want you to give your kid over to God right now. Give your grandkids over to God right now. Give your nieces, your nephews over to God. Give your future kids over to God. Can you put their future in God's hands and trust them? God, in this life, that's the big question. Can we trust you? And the answer is yes. We can trust you first and foremost for our salvation, for the forgiveness of our sins, by putting our trust in Jesus who died on the cross to pay the penalty, who rose from the grave, showing his power over sin and death for us so that we all can raise to life and live a new life and live for eternity, forever in heaven, if we will put our faith in Jesus. So I pray for anyone who needs to do that today, any parent that needs to do that today, is their second chance to live differently. Maybe they need to truly repent of their sins and be a leader in their home. Instead of just coming to church, they need to be saved today and ask Jesus to be the Lord and Savior. God, for us, trying to live this life as parents, grandparents, or future parents, it can be so scary. Ugh. It's the hardest thing in the world. And honestly, parenting out of faith may be the most difficult thing that we ever do. So God, we need you. Show yourself faithful and true. Protect our kids. Bring our kids back to faith. Hold their future in your hands and help us to remember your faithfulness and help us to trust in you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.